said what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MFR.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determine once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I am Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry.
First of all, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. So we have a special season finale episode today that's holiday themed. We've had such a big year, 2023. Do you feel like it sailed by or do you think it slogged by?
This year has felt like two separate years in one. Do you feel that?
I don't think I feel that. I don't think it feels like two separate years. This year has felt, I'll say this, long. This year was so funny. I famously, if you listen to the episodes kind of earlier this year, I did make a vision board for the first time this year. That's when you know
See,
you need to.
See, that felt like that was last year.
Really? Anyways, but I'm looking at my vision board now, which is humiliatingly the lock screen of my phone. Okay, some things did come true. Should I do some of the things that came true?
Yeah, let's start negative and then end positive. So what didn't happen?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I like to put a little goofy things on my vision board because I was shooting for the top.
Okay.
We hadn't even launched the podcast yet, and I made a vision board, and I photoshopped Apple iTunes charts. And I put Bad Behavior as the number one podcast above, you'll never believe this, Call Her Daddy and Joe Rogan. Which it should be. It should be above Joe Rogan.
Okay. So we're so close. It's crazy.
We didn't make it to number one, but we did make it on the Apple charts. So there's
okay.
I had some ceramics classes on there. Did that. I don't know. My ears.
You put ceramic classes on your vision board? Why?
I don't know. I just tried to keep it fun.
Were you running out of stuff that you wanted to envision for yourself? So like ceramics, that seems like a
filler thing. I just envisioned like fun things like places I want to travel and stuff I wanted to do this year. And it feels like a really big year. This was our first year of our podcast. This is my first year not being in Miss Corporate America USA. Yeah.
But most importantly, the first year you got to do ceramics.
No, well, actually, I hate to be like this. I actually started it last fall. I did ceramics last fall, too. I just wanted to continue my journey.
Oh, you didn't want to give up. You didn't want to give up. I love that.
Because this is the end of the year, Blair, I think we should do some rose, buds, and thorns. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what Beauregame, rose, buds, and thorns, try it out with your friends and family. I sure love to do it all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about basically our roses, our high points, things we love from this year. Thorns, little things that were a little annoying from this year, and buds, things we're looking forward to in 2024.
My thorn of the year, not to be dark, is this past couple of weeks where I think my antidepressants have stopped working for me, so I'm having to find something new. Guys, that's not fun, and especially around the holidays, drag me to hell. Anyways, that's my thorn, not to be dark, but hey, we're here.
Thorn is current.
My rose, okay, I'm just gonna pick two roses. I can't pick between.
That's fine.
Everything involving this podcast, because so much good has come from the podcast.
Yeah.
And then the second one was, not to be gross and annoying, but I will say I've met him before, but finally getting together with Jimmy, because he's been very great, very supportive. Haven't had that. I've dated a bunch of losers. I feel like Sterling can co-sign on that. So it's just nice to have that. And then the bud for the next year is you saying, edit that out less. Because when we record, Sterling will tell a really funny story and she's like, I don't want that in the show. Take that out.
Yeah. So I'm unfortunately randomly a little private. But I think I've gotten better throughout the year. I really had to edit basically every single thing I set out.
Yeah.
Okay. So rosebud thorns. Rose, I'm going to also say this podcast and doing all of our shows this year has truly been so much fun. And my thorn, everything has been really okay, but I think my thorn would be that I think I just really wanted things to be a little bit better than they were. That's okay. That's kind of my thorn, that I'm a little discontent. But hey, if you're not being discontent in your 20s, what are you doing? And then my bud is that this is truly so embarrassing to say, but I have been writing up a storm, writing. And I have a few projects I'm really excited about that I really have high hopes of coming to fruition in 2024. And I'm just really excited about writing at the moment.
That's exciting.
I'm an absolute nerd. I'm an absolute nerd right now.
But thank you for being vulnerable just now.
And also, I'm obviously excited to hang out with my friends, talk more, and obviously launch season 2 of this podcast. And speaking of season 2, we would absolutely love any feedback, thoughts, criticisms, whatever.
I don't want criticisms.
But if there's any guests you'd like to hear on this podcast, if there's any
and if you have their phone number.
If you have their phone numbers. And please come out to see our show in January. We'll again be at Littlefield in Brooklyn, January 4th, 8 p.m. And we have such an incredible lineup of comedians. We have George Zavaris. We have Emmy Blotnick. We have Julia Shiplett and a few other exciting guests. So come on out. Come say hi. And we will talk to you guys so soon in January. And truly a way to just round out the end of this season, the end of this year. We have two absolutely lovely guests coming on the podcast today.
I've been following this duo for years on Instagram. Ryan and Amy, they host the podcast Poor Little Thing. Comes out every Wednesday. So after you listen to this episode, definitely check them out. Please make welcome the hilarious Ryan Steele and Amy Goodmurphy.
This is a huge, huge moment to have you on. So thank you so much both for coming on.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
I mean, are you guys excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
We love our fans.
How are you all feeling about kind of the upcoming holidays? Are we in the holiday spirit? How do we kind of feel in general coming towards the end of Can You Even Believe It 2023?
I love the holidays. I really wanted a boyfriend, though, by this Christmas, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Okay.
So that's okay, though. That, you know, it saves me having to get a present. So
sure.
That's a positive. But overall, no, I'm excited. I have not started decorating my apartment yet. I guess that's a soon thing.
You put a mistletoe up.
I put mistletoe, and then I have all these green and red balls that I hang from my ceiling on fishing wire, and they always break and drop, and it's like keeping them back up.
Well, I love that you're committed to the bit. Now, let me go back to the boyfriend thing. What are you doing to actively pursue this? Because, I mean, there's still a month.
And famously, kind of every holiday movie, you can get a boyfriend in, I think, 36 hours. It's always like a day or two before Christmas.
Yeah, I've been on Tinder for the last few months, and I swear to God, I think I went on 7 dates in the last 2 months.
Okay.
Like every weekend, it was like Friday, Saturday with different guys. Like I was trying.
Okay.
And
did you put out?
No, like once.
Okay.
Only once?
You should probably put out more because that's how you get love.
Oh.
Interesting.
See, I'm a lesbian. I just like I don't understand all this stuff, and I'm his best friend, so I don't know how to give him that advice. But coming from you, you have to have more sex.
Okay.
No, you've heard that before.
The guy actually this time last year, and literally he like gave me an ultimatum. Like he was like, we had done something sexually, but we hadn't done something else sexually yet. And he was like, you got like a week, man. We need to be doing this. And then I didn't do it. And then he broke up with me the next week.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about an ultimatum like that.
I feel sad now.
Well, Amy, what was your advice?
Well, honestly, I said I encouraged him to not to necessarily lower his standards, but to like, because that sounds bad. I think that he sort of has always been a man because we've known each other for a long time. He likes sort of the outer appearance sometimes much more than the inner appearance or inner, you know, self rather. So I tried to say, you know, sometimes love is blind and
true.
That he should be giving people a chance because sometimes you fall in love later, not just with the first impression of appearance.
It's true.
That is so true. But here's the thing. I do think that there is an interesting kind of like male, female-ish like skew in this because I just had a conversation about this maybe a couple months ago where I was like, I feel like my friends and I were very much like open, like, oh, we're not that interested in this person that much, but they have a nice personality and I will grow to be very attracted. Like they're not terrible, but we'll grow into it.
I feel very lucky that I feel like I've mostly had in my life, like I can be very attractive to personalities and it doesn't matter the way that you look, your size, whatever, anything like that. It's nothing outer. Like if I think you're really funny, or like I can be very attracted to personalities.
Would you ever date a fellow performer?
Ew, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. You would.
I would. I mean, I would date someone like I've actually gone on a couple dates with a writer recently, and that's been fine. He's very funny. And I don't know if I could be like, if he was like in front of the camera, like
the way you said he's very funny sounded almost not convincing. Do you think he's funny?
Oh, well, I think overall with him, I don't know where it's going. Like we had the first date and then we kind of like, we're hard. You know, when you have a great date, what I keep saying is when I have a great date, the next day, all I want to do is text them. I'm so excited and I hold myself back because I need to have a little game, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't text him yet. I can't text him yet. And right now there's no one that I've gone on a date with that the next day I'm like, oh my God. And Amy like takes my phone away. She's like, not yet. So I'm just looking for that guy that I want to text.
Yeah.
Yeah. To look for a crush for the holiday season. Tales all the time. No. Well, I really hope that you find some holiday love just in the nick of time. I think probably where we're at right now in like the Love Actually movie trajectory, you really still have time.
Sorry that we're just really opening. I hope this is a comfortable space to talk about your dating life
Of course.
Okay. What is your, do you have like a headline on your Tinder profile?
It's actually kind of cute. Oh, hi, with a bunch of eyes, looking to settle down before I'm forced to go on Love Island.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Would you ever go on Love Island?
Would I go on Love Island? Of course, yeah.
Really?
Now, I've never watched Love Island. Is this something I need to dig into?
I just started watching this year. I've just watched the UK version.
I think it's very similar. Do they have Casa Amor on the UK version where like they bring in all the new people? Okay, that's the best part of the.
I need to talk about the fact that there's no way in hell I'm arriving in a string bikini and high heel wrapped up my legs with like extensions down to my ass and my tits up to my face walking and saying, hi.
What would your entrance look be?
I would tie my hair back the way that it is. I'd wear men's boarder shorts and an old sports bra. And I would show up and be like, what's up? Does anybody have a cigarette? And I would just fucking wait for them to line up and pick and fight over me, I guess.
Just smoking the whole time. Who wants me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who want this?
Now, Ryan, what's your entrance look and your opening line?
Well, I would just be finishing a cycle of steroids, of course.
Sure.
So shirt off. And I would probably wear big shades to hide that I'm a little bit older than the rest of the guys. My beard would be dyed the fuck out, kind of like it is right now. And I would wear border shorts with flames. Border shorts with flames and then some like Nike high tops. Yeah. And I would get some, I don't wear a lot of jewelry, but I would get some jewelry for the show just to show that I'm like rich and edgy.
Yeah.
They are very young on that show. They kind of, especially the UK version, everyone's about 20 to 21 years old. And they kind of come in and they say this. They are like, I've dated around for a while. I know what I like and I'm ready to settle down. And they are under 20.
I'm more old school with my reality television and I'm currently enjoying a show called Real Housewives Beverly Hills. Because, this season, I want to know if Kyle Richards is a lesbian.
I don't think she's a les, but I do think that she, I don't know, they're going pretty, I mean, nothing surprises me in Hollywood and celebrities. They will go, like, extra mile. She's like seen at concerts. But yes, let's talk about Sutton for a second, please. This is my podcast. Let's talk about Sutton. Sutton is wild. Sutton is very odd. She's extreme mental health. They all are, and so am I.
She's very insecure.
Was it about the pants?
What was that about? Yes.
Yeah.
And she was totally lying. And also, Sutton, you're talking about, first of all, you're at a strip club. You know what's going to happen there. You already know that. You're wearing pants so that it can happen to you. Mm-hmm. And then after you're so mad about them looking like they're getting fellatio, you start talking about how horny you are for your sex toys.
Yeah.
Now, Sterling, as someone who hasn't watched this, what do you think happened? Give us your assessment.
I'm thinking pants are unpuffed. I'm thinking I don't know who this woman is. Maybe she went to a strip club, but she's wearing pants so she can get a lap dance or she can go on a pole. Okay. But she's being judgmental. Mm-hmm. And she's saying you guys are sick. You're sick. Yeah. This dog's being here. But then she's saying, I want to run home to my vibrator.
Wow.
I don't know anything. Those are context clues.
Yeah.
Filling it. So listeners, if you don't watch, you're welcome. Just a little recap.
You don't need to.
Yeah, you don't have to now.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
So we have a game we play on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. And this is going to be Heaven or Hell Holiday Edition. So we are going to present different scenarios to you both. And you are going to decide if that sounds like heaven, hell, or if you're kind of indifferent, purgatory.
Okay.
Okay, Blair, do you want to kick us off?
Yes. Attending a holiday party and seeing your crush is standing under the mistletoe and they give you a little wink as they scarf down sour cream and onion dip. Is this heaven or hell?
Heaven, because if he's my crush and he wants to kiss me, then let's go.
Like, okay.
No problem. I don't care what his breath smells like. He's my crush. Like, I wanted my walk here today. I saw one of my crushes and I'm visioning him right now. And I'm like, if he's under the mistletoe and he's like winking at me, I'm like running. Mm-hmm. So heaven.
Heaven for me. I don't give a shit. I love dip. I love chips.
Even better for her.
I love all the food. Yeah. I want to make it memorable. And again, if someone wants to kiss me and I like them, I will go. But can I spice it up? It's a little bit of hell because who's there? Like I just have to kiss them.
And I'm hoping it's like a filled party. So maybe people aren't noticing, but yeah, just a few people. That's really awkward.
Okay.
Have any of you guys ever kissed under mistletoe? That's never happened to me.
I think I have.
Have you?
My friends, like my friends. Back yeah. In the day. Like, come on, no, there's a mistletoe.
I put one up. Yeah, and I make out with everybody in my kitchen.
Okay, next one. At your family's annual holiday party, your distant cousin, who no one likes, pulls focus to propose to his girlfriend of 3 months.
Heaven.
Okay.
Heaven. I need to be there. I want to film it. And then I wanted to send it to everybody I know and say they've only been dating for 3 months. This is so fucking tragic.
Yeah.
You?
I'd probably say hell because I don't want to be there. I don't want to fake be nice and be like, oh, good for you. Like, I don't like this cousin probably. So,
okay.
Yeah, hell.
Now, would you want to receive a Christmas party or Christmas Eve proposal?
Hell.
Like
hell.
Getting proposed to get married on Christmas?
Yeah.
Hell, Christmas is for Christmas.
Yeah, hell, because then it would always like the anniversary of you getting engaged would be Christmas time. I want to get proposed to on the top of a mountain in the summer.
Yeah.
Or like jumping out of a plane. It's like, here you do.
Jumping out of a plane? Hey.
Can I talk about that for a second? I'm ruining this whole podcast, this whole game.
No, please.
I don't understand when people get engaged on like people's birthdays, on like at like special events or holidays. It's like, well, now that's that now.
I feel like I've been seeing, I don't know if you guys saw this video on TikTok. There's this video of like the bride at her wedding and she like goes to toss her bouquet and then she like shakes her head. She turns around. She walks to her friend. She hands her friend like, then her friend turns around. Her boyfriend's down on a knee. He's proposing at the friend's wedding. Like it's like all, obviously the bride knew about it, but I'm like,
no,
not for me. I'm like kind of fun, maybe upstage wedding, who cares? But that's too much.
Like that's hell.
Yeah.
Why would you? And that's so weird. Again, now that's about that.
Yeah.
Also, randomly getting proposed to kind of in front of like a whole contingent of people you might not really know. Like it's the bride's family, not yours.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay. So should we go to the next one?
Yeah, let's dot. Okay, number three. You receive a holiday card from your best friend and their partner. It reads, "Happy Paul-a-days. This family's getting bigger coming March 2024. The photo is of a pregnant puppy mill dog. Heaven or hell?
I think it's hell.
Purgatory.
Okay.
Why hell?
Why hell? Because, like, ew, they got so excited for their Christmas card and their pun of holiday. Like, I would judge my friends for that. That's not whatever. I mean, if it was like my mom or something, I'd kind of laugh because I'm like, okay, she loves herself. But if it was like my age or younger, I'd be like, you guys, this is so cheesy. Like, this is for middle-aged people like myself and older. Yeah.
I'm purgatory because I like dogs.
Okay.
And I want people to get dogs.
Sure.
But I feel like holiday cards, although yes, it's nice, keep sending them to me if you already do, but like holiday cards are just to show how perfect your family is with some stupid fucking photo of you. Like if it's a, you know, those photos that come and they all look perfect. And so-and-so is going into grade 8 and his favorite thing is riding his bike. Shut up. I don't give a shit. If Jenny and I had a Christmas card, it'd be like, we're thinking about trying Coke for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not true. That's a lie. That's not true.
Hey.
Not true. We've never done it. I'm the only person I know.
Okay. Next one. Your longtime significant other gives you an adult coloring book for the holidays because they know you love to be creative.
Hell. Hell. It's kind of nice. I do love to be creative and I do love to color.
Okay.
But hell.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hell as well. I actually was given a coloring book by a friend for a birthday or a holiday a couple of years ago, and it's just up on my shelf, never been touched. I have no intention of ever touching it.
I got you that.
Was it you?
Oh.
No, you didn't. I think it was it wasn't her. But you see how scared I got? I go, well, it's not.
You're like, I love it. I love it.
What was the coloring book of?
Oh, like a kind of a classic kids one, but a little more mature. Like the photo, you know, everything was outlined and you said to color in the, almost like, you know, you color in the circles and the squares.
What were the pictures of? Were they just shapes?
No, it was like mosaic kind of shit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got one a couple of years ago. It was Schitt's Creek themed, which I was like, thank you. I don't want to color this though. So again, I think I re-gifted that.
Yeah.
I love that Schitt's Creek merch had coloring books.
They probably have everything.
Okay. Okay. Next one. Your family makes you go caroling in your neighborhood, and you knock on a door only to find that you now have to sing in front of your former boss. Heaven or hell?
You could have stopped at your family makes you go caroling.
Okay.
And then you could have stopped at in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then I would need to the boss. That is the deepest hell I've ever heard.
Mm. I'm trying to think. I've worked at bars my whole life, so all my bosses have been decent. Oh, no, I'm trying to think. There's, I have a couple of cool bosses that if I went to their house, I'd be like, girl, here we go. I'm like, listen to this and don't close the door on us. I'll say purgatory in the middle because I feel some bosses I'd be really excited to sing for because I would just jazz it up and try to make it help for them. But then there's a couple of bosses I've had where I'd be like, oh, my God, like, I don't want to be here.
Have you guys ever caroled to people's houses?
Yeah,
I have.
As a kid.
And it was for church. It was for Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because it's his birthday. It's the reason for the Sazan.
He has almost risen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one last one. At a family holiday-themed karaoke party, your uncle signs you both up for him and you to sing Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, you guys, I would say that is, I'm singing it with my uncle. And you know, that's hell, because that song has been problematic lately. They've been pulled it from the radio, and now I'm singing it with my uncle, and I'm queer, and he's straight, and it's just a whole bunch of, like, what the hell is happening, so hell.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends what uncle. Heaven, if it's the one I like, but if it's any of the others, hell.
Uncle dependent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, amazing. You both did incredible. That was our game.
Thank you.
I love that game.
You did so well. No prize. Yeah.
So we've invited you both here today, and I think you know why. You both have some instances that you're going to bring forward today, in which it might be hard to tell if you were in the right or the wrong. And so we're going to go through both Ryan and Amy today. And so whoever maybe wants to kick it off first, we'll start with you and then we can jump to the other person's story whenever you're ready.
So I've been bartending for 50 years now. 50. And throughout those years, I won a couple of bartending competitions for Stoli Vodka. And it was cool. I got to go to Palm Springs a couple times, and it was fun. And then whenever they'd come to Vancouver, because they'd only ever come to Vancouver and Toronto in Canada, I'd get to be either the host of the event or a judge. And I did this for a few years. And then one year I'm dating this guy who happens to be a bartender. And every year when they do this competition, they cannot find enough, you know, contestants for it. They're like literally going to all the bars on our gay street, Davey. And they're like, please just come enter this contest. You know, you can win a trip to Palm Springs, Florida, whatever it was that year. And then they finally get a few. And so I told my boyfriend, I'm like, dude, you have to enter this. Like, you're going to win because only 4 people ever enter. That's how I won. Your odds are amazing. And I'm going to be a judge this year. So let's just not tell anyone that we're dating. Like, we had been dating only for a few months. We were newer couple. So anyway, he comes in, I'm one of the judges, we're like, shh, we don't say anything. He ends up winning, of course, but honestly not because of me. He had the best drink, he was the cutest, doesn't matter. And so he won, and like I swear to God, even because there was 4 judges too, so I only had 25% say in who won. Anyway, so then he went to free trip to Florida and he pays for half my flight because he's like, yeah, let's just split it. I want you to come with me. And then the Stoli people are a little bit weirded out. They're like, why is Ryan like coming with, you know, James? And so we go down there and we're there a night before everyone else because I thought, oh no, because we're from the furthest place. And so we go there and we see the Stoli people who I've met several times. And I'm like, I have this like guilty conscience. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tell them that we were dating, but like, it didn't affect anything. You would have won anyway. And then so I go tell this main guy that like, hey, surprise, we're actually a couple. He did not like. He freaked. I don't get in fights usually, but we got a little heated. We got kind of like in each other's faces to the point where like my boyfriend was like, it's not worth it. And this other guy was like, kind of like pushing us. It would have never got physical. But this other, you know, queen was like pushing us apart. And anyway, I really thought I was in the right that I like, you know, I lied that we were a couple, but he was going to win anyway. So I don't know if I'm in the right or wrong.
What was the repercussions after you told?
So he still got to be in the competition. I want to say there was like 20, 25 bartenders that got flown in from all over North America. And there was like 3 or 4 rounds. And okay, the first round, he didn't make it past. He was cut right away. So I think that early people were like, you know, that kid, he's not winning this. He has to lose no matter what. Like, even if he had the best flair and drink, he's like, he was already an X through his name. Yeah. But it's also a stupid bartending competition. Who cares?
But I can tell it still is weighing on your heart. That's why you brought it here today. So.
Well, this is true. Yeah, this is true.
Let's talk it out.
It's not like we cheated for like a political race or something. It was for a bartending competition. That's not even real.
What do you think? Okay, so they paid for his flight and board.
Yeah, and our hotel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like all together, that was maybe worth 600. No, 1,000. What do you think?
Vancouver, yeah, at least $1,000. Yeah.
Okay, $1,000. And okay, so basically with your vote in the competition, say you had voted against him, said no, or something else, he truly still would have won.
I do believe that, yes.
What is your relationship like with this gentleman now?
We have broken up, but we're civil. Like, we chat here and there when it makes sense.
And did that have anything to do with the competition? Or
No, he just didn't like me anymore.
Oh. Well. I don't know. This one feels kind of cut and dry for me. What do you think, Blair?
Well, so after you had revealed your shocking secret to the judge. The boyfriend, what was his thoughts? Because you had convinced him. Now, tell me if I'm incorrect in this assessment. You had convinced him to do this to win a prize and you hyped him up. You're like, oh my God, you're so fucking hot and good at making drinks. And we're going to take this all the way to the top. And then you get there and then you kind of pull the rug from underneath him. Mm-hmm. And that had to be devastating because he was in this competition he didn't want to do. And then you just kind of like sideswipe him, you know?
Yeah. But I think we were just kind of in it for the free trip.
Okay.
In the free hotel.
And you got there.
And we got there. Like, by the time we got there, I'm like, well, we're already here. Like, you know, and I don't think he was not going to win that competition down there. He's not. Tender, because that was part of the competition. It's like your drink matters, but also your presentation and you know, your being. And he's a little shot. So I don't think he ever had a shot. So it was kind of good that he got done so we could just go walk around and just, you know, be on vacation. Walk around, say hi to people.
So the first competition where it was just the four, if he's not that entertaining, how did he win?
Yeah, because I think they were all pretty boring, and he had the best drink and was the cutest.
Okay.
Now, what was your relationship like with, I guess, the company going forward? Were you able to be a judge or host again, or were you kind of cut?
That was it, I think. I mean, like, COVID eventually happened like a year or two after. I never heard of them coming back to Vancouver. I don't think they ever did one without me, but I could be wrong. I should really look that up. A couple years later, actually during COVID, one of the main guys messaged me and I made a cocktail in my apartment and they gave me music and I added it and it was part of their summer like pride thing. So they still did like me. Well, the one guy did. Sky didn't like me.
Quit dropping names.
I had a question and then I just totally forgot it. So Sterling, do you have a question or do you have an assessment?
I remember my question. Oh, okay.
Shut up, Sterling.
Yeah, literally.
What was the exact verbiage that you said to this guy when you were getting all hot and bothered, feeling like you had to be honest?
I was just like, he was going to win anyway. Me being a judge and knowing him didn't change the outcome of the competition. And I think I kind of like, you know, slammed the competition a bit. It was like, this is a vodka competition. Like, we're just a bunch of gays having fun. Like, this is just because you have a budget for it. Like, no one who does this actually, like, puts, well, maybe here's the thing. I guess maybe they do put it on their resume. But I didn't care about it. I just wanted the free flights and the fame. And so I was kind of more fighting with him saying, like, chill out, dude. Like, this really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. Like, yeah, so I had that angle, like we're fighting about something so small. And then also the angle of he was going to win anyway, were kind of my two points, but he did not like either.
I almost wonder if we hold our judgment till we hear the other story. What do you think?
Sterling, I am 100% in agreement with you and I support that decision.
Okay, so unfortunately, Ryan, you're going to have to be on the edge of your seat
to
know if you've been deemed good or bad, but I think you've pled your case. And we'll be deliberating. And also, if famously Amy's story is much worse, it could be in your favor. Or if it's much better in terms of behavior, it could be not. We'll see. We'll see how they kind of go back to back. And that could change things. So we'll see. So Amy, whenever you're ready.
Okay. So I was 11 years old and my friend stole cigarettes from his mom. And he would steal them from time to time and we would smoke them in the bush by his house. And then I had another friend whose mom and dad smoked and he stole cigarettes from her and we would smoke in the trail near his house. And so we liked to smoke it up. We were 11, trash in the bush. And well, we were looking for smokes one day because they were like, I can't anymore. She knows. She's going to know. And I was like, fuck, just get the smokes, guys. Like, just get the smokes. Like, whatever else are we going to do?
And how old are you again?
11.
11.
Oh, no.
And they were like, shut up. You don't even, you get smokes. And I was like, my parents don't smoke, man. I told you. And so anyways, like, how are we going to get some darts? Like, we need them. We're 11 and we need to smoke in the bush.
Right.
So I'm like, I can't believe this. This is a true story. And I don't know if it was my idea, if it was a friend's idea, but there was a corner store near our neighborhood and there was a payphone outside of it.
Okay.
And one of us came up with the brilliant idea that... Well, wait, let me pause for a second. I thought that I could do a really good British accent.
Can we hear it?
Of course, It's really bad. I can't do it. No, I'm too embarrassed. I can't even. It was even worse. It was 11-year-old little dyke trying to do this girl, whatever. Anyways, that has nothing to do with anything. But I thought that I could do a great British accent. And so we came up with the idea that I would call this corner store from outside the walls from their own payphone. And I put on a British accent at 11 years old. And I said, "Hi, I'm just calling from up the street. I come and get my cigarettes there all the time, but I've been in a horrific accident and I'm bound to a wheelchair. And I'd like to send my son to come and get my cigarettes for me. Please, I really need them." And he was like, "What?" I'm like, "I know it sounds crazy, but I'm very injured and I can't come get them and I'm addicted. I need them." And meanwhile, it probably sounds like, "Yeah, hello," I can't even do it. And he was like, "I don't know about this." And I was like, "Please, I just live 2 minutes. I can send them right in, like right down the street. I'm a really big customer." And he's like, clearly I'm a child. Anyways, he said, "Okay." We waited like probably 60 seconds and went in and got the cigarettes. I said, "Yeah, my mom." I went in. I looked like a total boy. I had to say boy because if I said girl, it would have been too confusing. So I said, "I'm sending my son down." And I went in and I was like, "Hi, my mom just called. She's British. She's in a wheelchair. And she needs her cigarettes." And he was like, "Okay." I'm like, "Here's the money." And walked back out with my friends. And I was like, "I got the goods." And then we smoked those darts in the bush. And that's it.
Also, darts is Canadian slang for cigarettes. I don't know if you say that in America, but we call them darts.
No, we don't.
Well, trashy
Canadian people call cigarettes darts.
Okay.
I'm gonna go for a dart.
Okay. I love learning.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I just love that you just went in there and you're like, "My mom's British and in a wheelchair. I'm here for the cigarettes."
Horrific accident.
Yeah, horrific. And I was like, "Please."
And I need them.
Yeah.
When you were being British and you said this to the...
Yeah.
The employee there, did they inquire about the horrific accident or no?
No.
Mm.
They were just like, "I don't know about this." And I was like, "No, I am." And also, though, they also didn't ask me to wheel my ass down there, because why can't I just bring my wheelchair down there?
Yeah.
I should have said something better.
Yeah.
But no, they...
I'm tied up in a basement.
I'm tied up, yeah. No, he didn't ask any questions. He just seemed like, I asked it once and then he kind of was like, and I was like, "No, please, it's real. And I'll send my son." And like, I kind of begged for it. And he was like, "All right."
He wanted the sale.
How many cigarette packs did you get? Just one?
Just one. We can only afford one. We pooled our cash together. Yeah. I think they were like $5 back then or something, $6. A pack.
And then what was kind of, if you're comfortable, your journey kind of at post 11, or like, how was your cigarette journey after that? Did you continue on the stuff? Did you go back to the store? Was that your last pack?
I was like, "That's my last pack." No, we never went to that store again. I haven't. I smoked throughout high school, like when, like on weekends sometimes, like I was kind of here and there. And then I dabbled in my 20s at like weddings, and once in a while now I'll sneak one, but I haven't had one for a really long time.
But you're not like salivating at the mouth for cigarettes?
It depends how many Coors Lights I've had.
What's your like 3 or 4 minute cigarette time?
Yeah, 3 or 4. And I'm like, "Oh, I have to stop. I'm craving a cigarette."
Now, how many packs would you say you were smoking up until you contacted the convenience store?
It was like we would steal one like once a week, and then that only happened like a little bit.
So you were only stealing one dart at a time?
Just one dart, yeah, and we'd all share it.
Okay.
You'd be like, "Oh, you've had enough. You've had more than 3 puffs. It's a 3-puff rule. Pass it."
You said you never went back to this convenience store again. Were you a frequent, you know, customer of, or did you go to this? Like, did they end up losing business because then you decided not to go anymore?
No, let me be clear. I went back, just not for cigs. And then I just hoped that he wouldn't remember me as the little boy who came. And then once I started, like, you know, getting in touch with my femininity, I started changing over the years and going in. And I think he was like, "Oh, he's changing."
You may have said this, but Whose initial idea was it to just start smoking in general?
I don't know. We were all the same. Like, I don't think there was one little, like, one person. We all kind of were ratty like that. Like, I'm sure we all saw it in a movie once and was like, that's sweet. And then tried to figure out how to get one.
In this little acting performance you gave, do you feel that that is what the acting, is that when the acting bug bit you?
No. Listen, here's the truth. It's horrifying. I can't even believe I've told you this story. It is so disgusting. And there's one clear answer. I'm fucked. Okay. And I was a fucked child.
When you win an Oscar one day, you're going to go up there and be like, to think 30 years ago, I was just a little boy stealing cigarettes. And now I'm up here winning an Academy Award.
Now, I can hear the sadness in your voice. And, you know, you're struggling with this. So have you ever thought about maybe going back to that convenience store? Because I'm assuming that employee still works there.
You know what? It's okay. Go on.
Well, have you thought about reaching out and just being like, hey, I got to come clean about something?
Honey, I've written so many apology letters in my life from my adolescence that I am all written out. I cannot go, it's hands. Do not do this to me. You're going to put the seed in my brain. The next time we talk, I'm going to say I did it. But no, I'm not doing it.
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a rite of passage to kind of, one, be that age. One, either the kid is calling in to do a story like that or they're stealing, right? About 10 to 11, I feel like everyone in school was like, I stole these mints from whatever convenience store. So I don't think this is like, you know, this is just like a classic coming of age tale. But you're taking it in a creative direction where you were able to flex a little acting skills that could come in use later on.
That is really nice. Yeah. Thank you.
I hear what you're saying. And I agree to it up until a certain point. Oh, and it was something that Amy just said. Okay.
What?
Yeah, you said it from your mouth. I don't know if you remember saying this, but I said, have you ever thought about going back and apologizing, seeing as how you're feeling so much remorse? And you're like, I will not do it. So you feel bad, but yet you don't want to confront the past to move forward in the future.
I cannot pick and choose all the times I was a piece of shite, okay? And that man got paid. I paid for it.
Yeah, she did pay.
Okay, I'm just putting that thought out there, you know?
Okay, well, thank you.
I mean, on the one hand, you're a classically trained actress and were to convince this person that your mother was British, yes, and in a wheelchair and horribly hurt and needed her cigarettes to get by. So that's great. And, you know, and he's a trusting person. But again, you're feeling guilty and didn't want to apologize. And I don't know.
I am sorry for it, but I don't think he's there anymore.
You know, if you felt real remorse, I feel like you could, you know, we're in a day and age where you can Google stuff.
I don't even remember what he looked like. I don't know.
Get off her back, man.
Thank you.
You know what? I don't know if you're familiar with Hallmark movies, but this is a Hallmark movie about a woman who goes back to her hometown to make amends with her past and then opens a Christmas tree farm. This could be you.
And then Ryan can pop in, and then maybe the Christmas tree farm owner, kind of future boyfriend by Christmas.
Thank you,
that could be good. That could be good. Well, I think this, I'm going to come out and say this. I think you both did some things to get ahead in life. That, I say this, is that so bad? Is that so bad? We're living in a day and age, one where we just sometimes have to, we can't always play by the rules, okay? The world is unfair. And in Ryan's case, it's this. Sometimes you need a little free trip, okay? And just because he didn't quite play by the rules, hey, it happens to the best of us. But you came clean. You said what you needed to say. You probably would have gone on that trip anyways because your boyfriend would have won. And so when it like comes down to it, I don't think it was so bad. And you got to spend an amazing time in Palm Springs. Where was it? Palm Springs? No.
Florida.
Which that's scary. That's kind of a punishment that you actually went to Florida. So I think that kind of comes out all in the wash. And Amy, what kids do when they're kids. Okay. I'm telling you, I'm sure I did far worse. That I think is fine. And I even think this, we have to remember 11 years old, your frontal lobe has not developed. And you were smoking so many cigarettes at that point, it might've even been harmful to the development. So yeah. you aren't responsible for your brain. Okay. And again, you were kind of pursuing the craft of acting a little bit, you know? And so that's kind of interesting. You got to practice accent work, which it seems like you actually did an amazing job because you were believed. And so mm-hmm. I think in the holiday spirit, I'm going to say good behavior to both of you.
Oh,
but I don't know. I feel like I have Simon Cowell on my hands, Blair. You're scowling.
Oh, thank you,
Blair.
You know, I've heard the stories, and I've been letting that resonate on my frontal lobe. And you know, going back to Ryan's tale, I could see the internal conflict. You know, as far as like sharing the story and wanting this out there and. You don't want anything to hurt your career, and this very well could hurt your career because you lied to get ahead, especially with the Stoli Foundation. But
yeah, the Stoli Foundation.
You know, in hearing Sterling speak her words, I think I got a wash of the holiday spirit.
Oh,
and yeah, I'm softening as we speak.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I think it's beautiful that you stood up for your man and said, he might be boring, but gosh darn it, he's hot and can kind of make a drink that makes me drunk.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, we're all gay. Let's be gay and happy.
Amen. Golf queen.
And so I will say good behavior for that. And then Amy.
Thank you.
What we do as children. I can't relate to that statement that Sterling said because I was a pretty really awesome child, but I can recognize the good behavior in there because you felt bad about it and you didn't steal it. You paid and you took creative license, which helped you to this day, you know, and I like to think a little of that young boy who bought those cigarettes was recently in a movie on Amazon Prime as a gym coach.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
And I think that helped you with that performance. And so I am going to say good behavior on both.
Wow. Okay, so Ryan, yeah. You've been officially deemed good behavior.
I'm here to tell you something. This feels very real. Mm-hmm. I feel better about what I did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, for your truly exemplary behavior, we have a little reward for you today. We know that sometimes acceptance speeches can be a little hard to come up with on the spot. Okay. I know probably not for you guys because you know, I'm doing them all the time, but we have one written for you today.
Wow. This is incredible news to be deemed good behavior just in time for the holidays. Santa, are you listening?
But we don't want to stop our good behavior there. We believe that we must continue growing. And so here are our 2024 New Year's resolutions for us to become even better people.
Yes. Number one, we promise to join a gym on January 1st and forget to attend for a year, but not stop paying for our membership.
Yes. Been there, done that many times. We promise to start a new diet where we only eat 3 almonds, 2 dozen eggs, and bone broth. And have it be the only thing we can talk about for a month. Love that. Yes, done and will.
Yeah, we're already. Number 3, we promise to take up a charitable cause, which will be releasing for free even more episodes of our hit podcast, Poor Little Thing.
How do you feel? How do you feel in this moment?
I feel renewed, refreshed, and I feel seen. So pretty good.
I mean, yeah, goosebumps. I'm holding back my emotions right now, or I'm gonna explode.
Yeah. But I've never seen him like this before. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like I'm gonna get a boyfriend.
You're gonna get a boyfriend today?
Yeah, I feel like the stars are aligning, and after this,
wow. Well, keep us updated if you get a boyfriend just this single night. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Truly, this was so much fun having you both on. Thank you both for coming on for our season finale and doing a whole holiday episode with us today.
It's an honor.
Thank you.
And before we wrap up, are there any things you might want to plug? Where can listeners find you? All that jazz.
Well, you can follow us on our joint account at Ryan and Amy Show on all social media. And we have a live show coming up in a festival early 2024. I don't know if the details are released yet at this point, but look on our social media to come and see us in Vancouver.
And if you yes. if you thought my voice sounded cute, hit me up and say, hey, Ryan, I'm interested.
And that's our season. Thank you guys so much for listening to season one of Bad Behavior. We will be back in January very shortly. So definitely subscribe to the podcast if you can, rate, review, and please send to any friends, family while you're over the holidays being like, what the heaven and hell are we going to talk about the podcast. Maybe you can even use a heaven or hell segment, ask some fun questions, get the conversation flowing.
Now you're probably wondering, when specifically in January are we coming back? I need a date. Well, guys, we're not going to give up all the goods just yet. You need to follow us on the social medias. It's Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram, TikTok. Hey, we even have a Facebook. We like to keep it old school. So follow us on all platforms and we will keep you guys up to date.
And if you're in New York City, we'll be having a show at Littlefield on January 4th. The tickets are in our bio. So please check it out and we'll see you there. All right. We love you guys. See you all soon and hope you have an amazing new year.
Yes. Happy holidays. Woohoo!